Good Wednesday. Today is March the 26th, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, we're going to finish up our conversation today with Mike Steenhoek from the Soy Transportation Coalition, talking about experts. We're also going to discuss the disaster relief program that was rolled out and ways you can calculate your payments. We'll be back with that after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Joining me today is Mike Steenhoek. He is the Executive Director of the Soy Transportation Coalition. Mike, we look forward. There's obviously challenges, but there's opportunities tied to that within the industry. As we look at exports, I think most farmers have heard where some of those challenges have lied, both with what's going on in the Middle East and conflicts over there, what's gone on with just water levels, both in the Mississippi, the Panama Canal. What are, though, maybe some opportunities that we don't hear about as much that you guys in the industry see, but it's just not making the headlines for farmers to hear about?
Yeah, you know, and I think it's important, you know, we think about, you know, the Chinese market, which has been very preeminent for U.S. soybean farmers for the past number of decades. And, you know, that's and it still remains a very important market, but it has softened a bit just due to some of the challenges within China itself, but also with extreme competition from Brazil, and that they've really established a very efficient pipeline to that country. So you could call China a home run market that's existed for the United States. Success in our industry is going to be more of a function of base hit markets. You can win baseball games with home runs. You can also win games with base hits. You can win games with bunts and steals,
sure,
too. And so that's what we really do need to be open to. There's really only one country in the world, you know, like China from a perspective of appetite for soybeans. Yes, there's other countries that have large growing populations, but a country that has this appetite for pork, appetite for poultry. Oh, and by the way, their cooking methodology uses a lot of vegetable oil. It's a very unique market yeah, for us. But we also need to be pursuing those base hit opportunities, not only for soybeans, but also for soybean meal with all of the increased crush that's happening in the United States. And so that's one of the reasons we've made some of these investments in. There's a facility that's being expanded in the Port of Houston. There's a, mm-hmm, you know, obviously the one at Port Milwaukee, and trying to find ways to increase the efficiency in moving soybean meal to some of these other countries. But I think the bottom line is you need to have a resilient infrastructure. You want to avoid the old proverb of don't put all of your eggs in one basket. The more you can spread your eggs off multiple supply chain baskets, the better positioned you are to succeed.
Makes a lot of sense. Well, last question for you when it comes to some of the ports and operation of those ports, and we all heard about the concern with strikes with the International Longshoremen's Association, the U.S. Maritime Alliance, now a new 6-year contract that has been agreed upon. Moving forward, should that help alleviate maybe some of those concerns of shutdown, or where do you think we stand going forward?
Yeah, I mean, when it comes, you know, a lack of predictability is arsenic when it comes,
sure,
to an effective supply chain, and so that's what we want to avoid at all costs. And, you know, we have had some, you know, very significant amount of tension and conflict between transportation labor unions and management without taking sides, but it has resulted in some additional question marks that, mm-hmm, have been posed and presented to our industry. So we were very pleased to see an agreement get achieved between the two parties, the International Longshoremen's Association, which they represent the dock workers at East and Gulf Coast ports, as well as the U.S. Maritime Alliance, and they represent the port operators, the port authorities. And so a new 6-year contract that has been ratified by the rank and file of both organizations. And so really the final element of it is just basically a signing of the contract, a ceremony for that. That the provisions of the contract, including the pay increase that is being achieved, a 62% pay increase for the dock workers. So that's basically about a 10% pay increase each year over the course of the 6 years. That will be made retroactive to October 1st of 2024.
Okay.
And so then you'll have a 6-year contract that extends from that date. So September 30th of 2030 will be the next due date for a new contract. But again, it's really helpful that in the midst of all of the uncertainty that we've experienced when it comes to our supply chains, it's really nice to have at least this you know, providing some greater degree of predictability moving forward.
Very good. Well, again, my guest today has been Mike Steenhook, Executive Director of the Soy Transportation Coalition. Mike, thanks so much for all your work and for these updates today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Taking a look at your agricultural headlines, U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins announced that the USDA will provide up to $10 billion to agricultural producers through the Emergency Commodity Assistance Program, otherwise known as ECAP, that for the 2024 crop year, now administered by USDA's Farm Service Agency. ECAP aims to help producers offset rising input costs and the falling commodity prices. Producers facing higher cost and market uncertainty, and the Trump administration is ensuring they receive support without delay, said Secretary Rollins. USDA is accelerating payments to provide resources for managing expenses and securing financing for the next season. Now, to be eligible, authorized by the American Relief Act of 2025, payments are based on planted and prevented planted acres eligible for 2024 commodities, and the FSA will send a pre-filled applications to producers who submitted 2024 acreage reports after the sign-up period, which technically began yesterday, March the 19th. But producers can also apply at the fsa.usda.gov/ECAP website or through their local FSA offices. Now, to qualify, producers must report their 2024 crop year acres to the FSA using the form FSA 578 by August the 15th of this year. Producers must also submit required forms, including their AD 2047, that's the customer data worksheet, and the CCC 902, that's the farm operating plan, if they do not already have those on file. Now, pre-acre payment rates for eligible commodities are wheat at $30.69, corn at $42.91, and soybeans at $29.76, with oats at $77.66. Now, there are additional eligible oil seeds, which would include canola, flax, mustard, and more. Payments will be issued as applications are approved, initially at 85% of the calculated amount, and then if funds remained, a second payment may be issued. Payments are based on acreage, not the production, with prevented plant acres calculated at 50% of that payment rate. And again, producers can estimate payments using the ECAP calculator. That's at fsa.usda.gov/ECAP. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.